Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. Well, I'm guessing that you know what it's like to have something bad happen to you. I'm guessing you know what it's like to have something bad happen to someone that you care about. If nothing bad has ever happened to you or someone you care about, this sermon is not for you. You can just fast forward ahead to the offering. But I'm going to assume that if you're a human being that lives on planet Earth, especially in the year 2020, then you face the fact that we live in a world where sometimes bad things happen. And I'm sure at some point you've wondered, why? Not just why do bad things sometimes happen to good people, but why do bad things have to happen at all? I bet at some point over the last 6 months, many of us have wondered, why is there this awful thing called the coronavirus? Why is there racial injustice in our society? Why is there so much hate in our society? Maybe for some of you, the question is, why did I lose my loved one? Or why is this relationship in my life falling apart? Why did I lose my job? You know, for any one of those questions, there may be medical explanations, there may be historical explanations, there may be psychological explanations, and sometimes those are helpful. But in some cases, when we ask that question, why, we're looking for something deeper than that. Sometimes what we mean is, why do these kinds of bad things have to happen at all? Well, that question has many times been referred to as the problem of evil. The problem of evil. And oftentimes it gets framed something like this, that if there's a good and loving God, and if God is all powerful, then how do we explain the fact that there's this thing in the world called evil? In other words, why does evil exist? I want to explore that question with you this morning, because even though evil is not a really fun subject to think about, maybe it is an important subject. For those of us who are Christians, we need to know how to respond when we encounter evil in the world or in our lives. And when we get this wrong, unfortunately, the consequences can be devastating, not just for us, but for the people around us as well. For those of you who have left the church, or maybe you walked away from the Christian faith entirely at some point in your past, for some of you, this is part of the reason why, right? That you just could not reconcile what your church had taught you about God with the kind of evil that you experienced in this world. Or maybe as your previous church taught you how to think about this problem of evil in relation to God, they ended up making God seem like such a monster that you decided, this is not a God that I want anything to do with. And so you just walked away. I've talked to so many people for whom this is a part of their story. I've even invited some of these people to join us and visit us here at Kindred Church. And many times folks tell me that they're reluctant because they've been so hurt by the ways that their church in the past has taught them to think about God in relation to evil. So this is really important to talk about, and it's really important that we get this right. Now, having said that, this question of why does evil exist, that is a massive question. And there are a whole lot of people who are a whole lot smarter than me that have been wrestling with this question for thousands of years. I got about 15 minutes here, so we're just barely going to scratch the surface, if that. But I hope that wherever you're at in your faith journey, I hope this is going to be helpful, and more importantly, I hope that this is going to be hopeful. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you know that we are in week 3 now of our sermon series called Questions of Faith. Wherever we're at in our faith journey, whether you are a brand new Christian, whether you're a lifelong Christian, if you're not a Christian at all and somebody is forcing you to watch this video, all of us at a certain point run into certain big questions of faith. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the big question of, is the Bible reliable? Last week, we talked about whether Jesus really rose from the dead. And if you missed those sermons, I'd encourage you to go back and watch or go back and catch the sermons on our podcast. But today, we're talking about this big question of, why does evil exist? Why does evil exist? Well, out of all the many things that we could say about this big question, here's the one thing that I want us to focus on today. That when the Bible addresses evil, it's less focused on the explanation and it's more focused on the solution. When the Bible addresses evil, it's less focused on the explanation and it's more focused on the solution. Scripture's primary concern is to tell us what God has done and what God will continue to do about evil. And that promise of what God has done and what God will continue to do, that's actually better than any explanation of evil that we could ever receive. So I want to explore with you this morning why that is and why this matters so much for you and me and for our world. Now, this passage that Minoka read for us a minute ago from Revelation chapter 12, this addresses evil in a really striking way, and we'll talk about this in just a minute. But first, I think it helps to have some context, some broader context about how the Bible addresses evil. Some of you know this, but way back at the very beginning of the Bible, in the very opening pages, we get the creation story. And we're told right there up front, we're told one thing very clearly, and this is foundational, that God is the creator, and everything that God creates is good. It's not like God creates some good stuff and some bad stuff. No, everything that God creates is good, period. But then, not long after the creation story, we're confronted with this tragic reality that somehow there's this force at work in God's good creation. There's this force at work that causes God's creation to rebel against God, to rebel against God's good purposes. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve and the forbidden fruit. You know, Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden, and at first everything is great. Everything is exactly as God intended. And then suddenly, kind of out of nowhere, this character of the snake enters the story. And for some reason, the snake decides to trick Adam and Eve. The snake decides to encourage them to rebel against God by eating this fruit that they're not supposed to eat. Now, where did the snake get that idea? Why did the snake want to trick the humans in the first place? We don't know. Why did Adam and Eve fall for this trick? Why was there something within their heart that made them inclined to rebel against God in this way? We don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an explanation. The Bible just names the tragic reality that somehow, some way, there's this rebellious force on the loose in God's good creation. And we call that force evil. Sometimes in Scripture, it gets personified and referred to as Satan or the devil. You know, when we humans participate, when we cooperate with that force, we call that sin. It's a tragic reality. Now, let's just acknowledge that it can be really frustrating that we don't get a clearer answer from Scripture, right? Because when we witness evil, certainly when we experience evil, we want answers, and Scripture doesn't tell us in a neat and tidy way why evil exists. That can be frustrating. In fact, some types of Christians have been so desperate for an explanation that they've actually made God the explanation. They've said that evil must somehow come from God, that it must be part of God's will in some kind of way. I know some of you are coming from church backgrounds where that's kind of the party line, and I bet I don't have to tell you how hurtful that is. To tell someone who's experiencing evil that that's somehow God's will for them, that is incredibly cruel, and it's just not true. Scripture is so clear. Everything that God creates is good. Evil does not come from God. And we may want answers, but instead, Scripture gives us something better. Scripture gives us this promise of what God has done and what God will continue to do to get rid of this thing called evil once and for all. So what is that, you may be wondering? What has God done? What will God do about evil? For us as Christians, when we think about that question, when we wrestle with that question, we look primarily to Jesus. And specifically, we look to the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Because as surprising as it may seem to us, as counterintuitive as it may seem to us, we actually believe that the cross and resurrection of Jesus is how God saves us, and it's how God saves the world from evil. If I lost you up to this point, don't miss this, that the cross and resurrection of Jesus is how God saves us, and it's how God saves the world from evil. I want to point out just two things that we learn about evil from the cross and the resurrection. The first is that we never, ever face evil alone. And the second thing is that evil will not prevail. Did you know that we have a God who comes to us in the person of Jesus and meets us right where we are. Did you know we have a God who knows what it's like to be on the receiving end of evil? Jesus knows what it's like to experience injustice and oppression. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. Jesus even knows what it's like to die. And on the cross, Jesus faces all of that evil in solidarity with you and with me and with the entire world. And so Jesus shows us that no matter what kind of evil we experience, God is not aloof from that. God is not observing this passively from a distance, but God is with us right here in the struggle. And that means the cross shows us that no matter what, we are never, ever alone. Now, that's good news in its own right. But it gets even better, actually, because not only is God with us in the struggle, but God actually leads us into this good future where there is no struggle, where there is no injustice, where there is no death. You know, as Jesus was taking his final breaths on the cross, it looked for all the world like he had been defeated. It looked for all the world like he was just another victim, just another example of the fact that evil will always get the upper hand in the end. But at least for us Christians, we believe that that's not how the story ended, right? We believe that evil didn't get the last laugh after all, because as we talked about last week, Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus rose to new life. And that shows us once and for all that God is stronger than suffering. God is stronger than injustice. God is stronger than evil. And the resurrection gives us a glimpse of that good future that God is leading us into. And that means that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get for us, evil will never, ever, ever have the last word for you or for me or for any part of God's good creation. Well, that brings us back to this passage that we read a minute ago in Revelation chapter 12. We get this vision here where evil is personified as a snake, kind of hearkening back to that scene in the Garden of Eden, or a dragon here. And this dragon in this passage gets thrown down, gets defeated for good because of what God has done in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the passage ends with this promise. Did you catch this? This passage ends with the promise that evil, that the devil may still be lurking around in this world, and that evil may show up in our lives in some very real and some very painful ways at times. But the promise is this, that the victory is already won. The outcome is already determined. We know how this story ends, and the passage promises us here that the clock is running out on evil in this world. So again, Scripture may not give us the neat, tidy explanation for evil that we sometimes want, but it gives us something better. It gives us the promise. It gives us the assurance that we never have to face evil alone, and that come what may, evil will not prevail. Well, I want to end here by lifting up just one really practical implication that all of this has for us, because the truth is this good news, this promise comes with a job description. It comes with an assignment for us. Unfortunately, recently, as we've been doing online worship, we haven't been able to celebrate any baptisms, and we're getting kind of backlogged now, so we're going to have to figure out something creative and make it work. But some of you will remember that any time we do a baptism, there are a few questions that we ask the person being baptized, or if it's a baby, we ask their parents on their behalf. And one of the questions we ask everybody we baptize is this: do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Let me say that again. Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? We ask everybody that question because if you're going to be a baptized follower of Jesus, then one of your duties for the rest of your life is to resist evil. That is an essential part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And because we know that God is with us, and because we know that evil will not prevail, we have hope, and we have courage, and we are free. We're free, as the question says, to resist evil and injustice and oppression. And as we do that, we witness to the goodness of God And we point in a very real way to that good future that we know that God is leading us into. So I'll leave you with this question. What does this kind of resistance look like in your life right now? How is God calling you to resist evil in this particular season of your life? For those of you that are in healthcare, maybe it's, you know, keeping up the fight against this awful virus and the destruction that it's causing, or other illnesses. For those of you in education, maybe it's keeping up the fight against the ways that minority students are especially disadvantaged with this distance learning situation. I know many of you are working very hard on that. For some of us, maybe it's taking this as a season to equip ourselves to better resist the kinds of racial injustices that are all around us in our society. Maybe for some of us, it's finding new and creative ways to come alongside of our neighbors and support them in their resistance against isolation and loneliness in this season. The possibilities are endless, I think, but how is God calling you to resist evil? You know, this is not an easy time that we are living through, to say the least. And I don't think we have to look far to see different forms of evil playing out in the world around us, and perhaps at times even within us. But imagine the difference that we can make. Imagine the difference if we lean into this promise that God is with us, if we lean into this promise that evil will not prevail, and if we live into this baptismal vow that we have as Christians to resist evil. Imagine the kind of hope and love that we can share in this season with our friends, with our neighbors, coworkers, family members. Imagine the kind of courage that we can inspire in each other to keep pressing on through this difficult time. I think this Kindred Church community has such an incredible opportunity to be an amazing beacon of light in what is a really dark time for so many people. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is empowering us to do together. Let me pray for us. Oh, gracious God, you are so good, Lord, in so many ways. And as we think about this this problem of evil, God, the painful reality of evil in our lives and in our world. God, we get frustrated at times because there's just so much that we don't understand and there's so much that we don't know. But here's what we do know, God, because you've shown us. We know that you are good all the time. And we know that you never leave us to face evil alone, but that you're right here with us. And God, we know that you will never, ever let evil prevail. So we ask your help, Lord. Help us to be faithful as we resist evil in this world, and lead us on, God, to that day when evil will be no more and when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We love you, God. We thank you for all your many blessings in our life, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.